content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mike Edwards with another episode of Armchair Traveler from the North Carolina Reading Service. And for the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the New York Times and the News and Observer. Before we begin our journey on today's Armchair Traveler, please let me remind you that neither the North Carolina Reading Service nor I are endorsing any of the cruises, safaris, tours, or other travel itineraries that might be featured in the articles we're going to be reading. These are selected simply for your enjoyment and edification. You know, it can be difficult to attempt any travel planning in the midst of a pandemic, especially one that seems to be as daunting as the coronavirus. While some locations have tried to reopen, others have experienced a resurgence or a growth in the number of virus cases, and this has prompted new restrictions for tourists. Recently, New York Times writer Karen Swartz looked at how countries are responding to COVID-19 and what impact their respective policies might have on travelers. She mostly highlighted those countries that currently allow U.S. citizens to enter, and this, of course, was as of July 7th when her article was published. It's called, I'm a U.S. Citizen. Where in the world can I go? And it was updated online on July 10th. So let us see what she's learned. Even as many countries remain off limits to American visitors because of the high rate of coronavirus within the United States, about two dozen others have started to welcome, and in some cases woo, U.S. citizens to come spend their tourist dollars. Still, would-be vacationers generally face a host of conditions, and a lot of traveler beware. The U.S. State Department continues its Global Level 4 health advisory, which cautions against international travel because of the pandemic. However, it is also posting country-specific information as restrictions loosen. Getting there is only part of the equation. Countries have their own COVID-19 mitigation measures that might include curfews or curtailed activities and services. Most standard travel insurance policies won't cover medical or travel expenses related to the coronavirus, and borders can close and flights be canceled with little warning, stranding people in foreign countries. Here's a list of countries in alphabetical order that, as of early July, were open to U.S. citizens or are expected to open soon. And again, please keep in mind, pay close attention if you are traveling to one of these destinations or thinking about it. Go ahead and check to make sure there have been no changes from what we will be reading. We start with Albania. Albania reopened its borders in early June with enhanced screening and quarantine measures in place. However, because of the number of coronavirus cases in the country has been increasing, the U.S. Embassy in Albania has suspended all but emergency services. As of late June, indoor bars, restaurants, and nightclubs were closed, according to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Now on to Antigua and Barbuda. Travelers must provide a certificate of a negative COVID-19 test taken within 7 days of arrival. Without proof, the government can require visitors to quarantine or to be tested and pick up the $100 expense. Temperatures will be checked at the airport, and people are asked to register with the Ministry of Health, Wellness, and the Environment. Visitors must have a mask and wear it in public or face a possible fine of $5,000 or up to 6 months in jail. Persons traveling to Antigua and Barbuda from countries where the outbreaks of COVID-19, where there are outbreaks, I should say, of COVID-19, may be required to quarantine, according to the Antigua-Barbuda Tourism Authority. Now to Aruba. Aruba first opened to Canada, Europe, and most other Caribbean countries on July 1st, with U.S. travelers to be admitted as of July 10th under certain conditions. Residents from more than 20 states are considered to be at higher risk of COVID-19 and must upload proof of a negative test taken between 12 and 72 hours before flying, or they won't be allowed to board their flight. Residents of the other states have the option of uploading the test or having one taken at the airport in Aurangabad. The airport tests are done at the expense of travelers who must quarantine at their lodging for up to 24 hours while awaiting results. Island guests must purchase mandatory Aruba visitors insurance to cover up to $75,000 in expenses should they test positive for COVID-19 during their stay. According to an online calculator, the premium for most visitors over age 15 who are staying for a week would be just under $100, and about $10 for those under 15. Masks are mandatory on the flight and in the airport, but not elsewhere. Now, we also include 5 Caribbean destinations reopening this summer as of July 1st. We start with the Bahamas. The Bahamas reopened this month to those who can present proof of a negative COVID-19 test taken within a week of arrival. Only those under age 2 are exempt, unless the traveler is from a state that doesn't test those under age 10. Visitors must complete a travel health form, and temperatures will be taken at the airport, where masks must also be worn. They also must be worn in taxis. Parts of the Bahamas are still struggling to recover from Hurricane Dorian, and tourism is an essential part of the economy. To try to reassure visitors, the government has introduced a clean and pristine certification program to verify that participating businesses are following health and safety guidelines for tourists. Barbados. Barbados plans to allow commercial flights to resume on July 12th, and JetBlue is tentatively set to return to the island on July 25th, with 4 weekly flights out of New York's Kennedy Airport, according to a spokeswoman with Barbados Tourism Marketing. Now to Belize. Belize has scheduled an August 15th reopening. Arriving guests who have a proof of negative COVID-19 within the previous 3 days can use a fast-track entry lane, while others will have to pay for and undergo testing at the airport. Anyone testing positive won't be allowed to leave the country, but instead must isolate for at least 14 days at the passenger's expense. Visitors must stay at a Tourism Gold Standard hotel, which can offer full services, thereby lessening the interaction with locals. No rental cars will be available at first, and parks and tourist sites will only be accessible with an approved tour operator. Face masks are required in public. Bermuda. Bermuda has an extensive screening process in place and requires a $75 fee to cover the cost of the mandatory in-country COVID-19 tests given at the airport, and again on day 3, 7, and 14 of a traveler's stay. Visitors are also asked to bring a thermometer and a face mask. In addition to being tested at the airport, anyone 10 and older is asked to provide proof of a negative coronavirus test taken within 3 days of their flight to Bermuda, although tests taken within 5 days will be accepted. Those with proof of a negative test still must quarantine at their hotel for about 8 hours pending the results of their airport test. Those arriving without proof of a negative test are confined to their accommodation for 3 days. All travelers must complete an online travel authorization form within 48 hours of their flight, then take and record their temperature twice a day for the first 14 days of their visit. Face masks are also required. Croatia. Members of European Union countries can enter Croatia for any reason, but American tourists may visit only with proof of paid accommodation. Dominican Republic. The Dominican Republic reopened to tourists on July 1st. Visitors must complete a health affidavit that attests that they haven't experienced any COVID-19 symptoms in the past 72 hours. A temperature check will be taken at the airport. Anyone with a fever or other coronavirus symptoms will be tested. Hotels are also required to check a guest's temperature when they arrive, as are operators of water excursions. Ecuador. The United States is continuing to help repatriate Americans who stayed in Ecuador when the pandemic closed down travel. Those wanting to visit the country need to quarantine for 14 days in government-designated temporary housing or hotels. In addition, all arriving passengers must have proof of a negative COVID-19 test within the previous 7 days or agree to undergo a test in the country. The government has restricted movement throughout the country, and there are curfews imposed. French Polynesia. French Polynesia, including the islands of Tahiti and Bora Bora, plans to reopen to all international tourists beginning July 15th. In order to board their flight, travelers must show proof of a negative COVID-19 test taken within the previous 72 hours. They must also complete an electronic entry form attesting that they have travel insurance that would cover coronavirus expenses or agreeing to personally assume all cost. Ireland. Authorities are asking non-essential travelers not to visit the Republic of Ireland, but those who do are asked to self-quarantine for 14 days. Jamaica. Tourists age 12 and older arriving from New York, Florida, Arizona, and Texas from July 10th on must upload a negative COVID-19 test that was taken within 10 days of their arrival date. All passengers must complete a travel authorization screening form within 72 hours of their trip and present it at the airport, or they will not be allowed to board their flight. Arriving passengers will have their temperatures taken and be asked screening questions. If they are considered at high risk, they may be required to take a COVID-19 test. Anyone tested must quarantine at their accommodation until the results are available, generally within 48 hours. Those who test positive must isolate at their hotel or at a government facility. All tourists staying at hotels, villas, or guest houses must remain with a designated tourist corridor where operators have been trained in COVID-19 protocols. Masks must be worn in all common areas. Kosovo. Kosovo is open to visitors with no restrictions for COVID-19, although it is recommended that travelers have a negative test within 4 days of arrival. Officials at Pristina International Airport are asking that those arriving or departing be accompanied by only one person in order to reduce congestion. Lebanon. Visitors must allow negative results for a coronavirus test taken in the previous 4 days, and if they are staying for more than a week, submit to another test given at the airport at the airline's expense. If they arrive without a test result, they will be tested at the airport and retested 72 hours later. The passengers must self-quarantine while awaiting the results of the second test, which is at the traveler's expense. Foreigners must also have proof of insurance that would cover any cost associated with the coronavirus. The Maldives. Maldives are planning for a two-part reopening, with resorts and liveaboard boats on uninhabited islands starting to take bookings as of July 15th, and inhabited islands following from August 1st. Passengers need to fill out a health declaration card, and anyone with symptoms will be required to pay for and take a coronavirus test. Additionally, local health authorities may conduct random testing at no cost to the visitor. Tourists arriving in the Maldives will be provided a free 30-day visa. Mexico. Land crossings between the United States and Mexico remain closed until at least July 21st, but U.S. visitors can arrive by plane. Tourists may be subject to temperature checks and other health screenings, and those showing symptoms may be asked to quarantine voluntarily. 15 Mexican states are open only for essential services, but 17 others are allowing hotels and restaurants to operate at 50% capacity. That means that some resorts in Cancun, Puerto Vallarta, Riviera Nayarit, La Paz, and Loreto are at least partially open for business. North Macedonia. There are no requirements for a COVID-19 test or self-isolation for North Macedonia, which has been going by that name only since last year. It was previously just Macedonia. Masks are required in closed public spaces. Groups larger than two people are prohibited in public places, except for children under 14 with their parents. St. Lucia. Beginning July 9th, visitors must have proof of a negative COVID-19 test taken within the past 7 days unless they are coming from a country with a Caribbean bubble. Arriving passengers must have completed a travel registration, and they will be screened and their temperatures taken. Anyone showing symptoms of the coronavirus will be tested, and if the results are positive, the person will be transferred to a hospital for treatment at their expense. Visitors must have confirmed reservations at a COVID-19 certified accommodation provider for the duration of their stay. For at least the month of July, it will be more difficult to explore the island as there are no rental cars and only a small number of tourists will be available to book through the hotels. Masks are required in public. St. Martin. Princess Juliana International Airport has reopened to Canada and Europe, with the U.S. Consulate General in Caruso saying flights from the United States won't be allowed until at least July 15th, so therefore you'll need to double-check on these updates. All travelers over age 10 must complete an online health declaration and show proof of a negative coronavirus test taken within 72 hours of arrival. Passengers will be screened at the airport, and anyone with symptoms will be given a test at their expense. Movement is allowed between the French and Dutch sides of the island. Casinos are open on the Dutch side, and restaurants and bars are open with masks required. St. Vincent and the Grenadines. Under protocols in place for the month of July, visitors will be given a COVID-19 test and must quarantine at their hotel for 24 hours while awaiting the results unless they have proof of a negative test for the virus taken within the previous 48 hours or a negative test for antibodies taken within the previous 5 days. Anyone who tests positive must isolate in an approved facility for 14 days at their own expense. Those exempt from the airport test must monitor their temperature for 2 weeks and report any changes to health authorities. After August 1st, plans call for testing to be done based on the traveler's country of origin. Serbia. All coronavirus-related entry restrictions have been lifted for Serbia. However, some hospitals have been overwhelmed with coronavirus patients in recent days, and troops have set up an emergency 500-bed field hospital near Belgrade. A state of emergency was declared in the capital last month as the number of new cases spiked. Tanzania. Passengers arriving on an international flight to Tanzania must complete a health surveillance form and undergo screening, including a possible COVID-19 test. Turkey. Visitors to Turkey will be screened using thermal cameras, and travelers with elevated temperatures may be subject to testing. Foreign passengers who test positive for COVID-19 will be referred to a private hospital. Face masks are required in all gathering places. In addition, those under the age of 18 can go out only in the company of a parent, while those over 65 can go out only between 10 a.m. and 8 p.m. Turks and Caicos have announced that international visitors may return to the country beginning on July 22nd. Details have not yet been announced. Ukraine. U.S. citizens can enter Ukraine if they can show they have medical insurance covering all expenses related to possible COVID-19 treatment. Ukraine currently classifies the United States as a country with a high incidence of coronavirus, which means the U.S. travelers should be prepared to self-quarantine for 2 weeks at their own expense. United Arab Emirates. All airline passengers will be tested for the coronavirus upon arrival. Regardless of the test result, visitors must complete a 14-day quarantine at their own expense. While Dubai is open, some parts of the country, including Abu Dhabi, are closed to visitors. Those who break the rules could be fined in excess of $27,000. And finally, United Kingdom, the list of travel corridor countries whose residents are allowed into England with few restrictions is growing, but the United States is still not on it. As a result, anyone arriving from the United States must be prepared to isolate for 14 days or face a penalty of up to $1,250. Again, the article written for the New York Times by Karen Swartz, and she is available on Twitter if you'd like to check in with more of her travel updates. She's at Wander Woman Is Me, WANDER, Wander Woman Is Me. That's on Twitter. Okay. Well, in our previous episode of Armchair Traveler, you may recall that we read an article about this year's 10 best U.S. cities for parks. Well, today we have another article that involves parks. As COVID-19 sends record crowds to North Carolina state parks. The article is written by Martha Quillen, and it appeared in the July 12, 2020 issue of the News and Observer. The arrival of the coronavirus pandemic in North Carolina in March eventually revealed a string of shortages: hospital workers, protective gear, pantry stables, and in some places, state parkland. Since the outbreak of COVID-19, some units of the North Carolina state park system have been turning away people to prevent overcrowding, especially during peak weekend hours, when 2 to 3 times the normal number of visitors have approached the gates at some parks. That's despite the fact that as of July 8th, all inland swim beaches at state parks remain closed, including those at Falls Lake, Jordan Lake, and Carr Lake State Recreation Areas and Lake Norman State Park. On July 3rd, 8 state parks had hit capacity by 10:30 a.m., and the North Carolina State Parks Facebook page was asking people still planning to come to visit on a different day. In his 17-plus years working at Stone Mountain State Park in Wilkes and Allegheny Counties, Park Superintendent Jeff Jones said that until the pandemic hit, we've never had to do that before. Now it happens every weekend. 14,000-acre Stone Mountain State Park, about 90 minutes from Charlotte and less than 3 hours from Raleigh, is built around its namesake 700-foot-high granite dome, a 200-foot waterfall, and 14 miles of trout stream. With 20 miles of trails, 90 campsites, and proximity to Interstate 77, it draws people from across North Carolina and nearby states. Normally, rangers and local law enforcement allow park visitors who can't find spaces in a parking lot to leave their cars on the shoulder of the road leading to the park while they go for a hike or a picnic. But because of the need for social distancing to prevent the spread of the novel coronavirus, Stone Mountain, like some other parks, is not allowing visitors to use that overflow parking. Once designated parking lots are filled, additional visitors are turned away until space opens up. At some parks, visitors may wait in their cars on an entrance road for an hour or more for a chance to go into a park. They want to get away from their house, is what visitors have told me, Jones said, and basically come to the mountains. State parks were popular destinations even during the statewide shutdown when access was more restricted. For nearly 2 months, starting in mid-March, most of the state's 41 parks and recreation areas were completely closed to the public, with about a dozen still open to hikers. Even with the restrooms and visitor centers closed, some sites, such as Carolina Beach State Park, reported more visitors during that time compared to the same month the year before. Ready to walk in the woods. Once Governor Roy Cooper began to lift COVID-19-related restrictions and all the parks reopened, people flooded into them looking for fresh air, exercise, and elbow room. I was really ready to get out and walk in the woods, said Eva Reynolds, who traveled from Ithaca, New York, recently to visit family in Johnston County. Reynolds' cousin told her about Raven Rock State Park outside Lillington in Harnett County, and Reynolds took her son and daughter there for a 2.5-hour visit. They walked the trail to the bluffs along the Cape Fear River, climbed over the rocks on the bank, and stared at the muddy stream rushing by. During their stay, Reynolds said they saw two snakes, a deer, some rabbits and frogs. Not a lot of people, Reynolds said, because they visited on a weekday, but the ones they met on the trail were cordial and kept their distance. For me, Reynolds said, hiking, being out in the woods, is just coming back to center. There's nothing else around, she says, around you except nature, and it forces you just to be in the moment and to be in awe of the beauty around you. Raven Rock, about an hour south-southeast of Raleigh, is a relatively small park and has been hitting capacity on weekends by around 10 a.m. since the pandemic hit. John Fullwood took over as interim director of state parks in May when Governor Cooper appointed the former parks director Dwayne Patterson deputy director and chief operating officer of the North Carolina Pandemic Recovery Office. Fullwood is a 28-year veteran of the state park system who started out as an attendant at Jockey Ridge State Park on the Outer Banks. Fullwood isn't surprised by record attendance at some state parks. The citizens of North Carolina and its visitors see the value of outdoor recreation during this pandemic, Fullwood said in a phone interview with the News and Observer. They're getting back out and experiencing the parks and the trails. We hope there are some people discovering state parks and some people rediscovering state parks, he added. Parks hitting capacity. Certain popular parks are consistently hitting capacity on weekends. Pilot Mountain, Stone Mountains, South Mountains, Raven Rock, Mount Mitchell, Gorges, Chimney Rock, and Grandfather Mountain State Parks. But Fullwood said most parks in the system are seeing an increase in visitors. We want people to have a good, high-quality experience when they get to a park, and if it's overcrowded and there is no place to park, it can kind of diminish the experience. We certainly don't want that, Fullwood said. Park visitors are encouraged to keep 6 feet from others who aren't in their group, to wear face coverings, wash hands frequently, and resist touching surfaces unnecessarily. Anyone showing symptoms of illness should stay home. Restrooms are open in most parks, along with most trails and campgrounds. Visitor centers, playgrounds, exhibits, meeting rooms, community buildings, and retail areas remain closed. No equipment or picnic shelter rentals are available, and no concessions are operating. The pandemic forced a weeks-long delay in hiring summer workers for the parks, Fullwood said, but he expects the system to be fully staffed sometime this month. It's really not a time to linger yet, and I say that as respectfully as I can, Fullwood said. Right now, we're hoping that people come in, enjoy the parks, get some fresh air and exercise, and move along. But in the long run, Fullwood said, the demand for public park access during the pandemic suggests the state needs to expand its trails and parks, whether by adding land to existing units or developing new ones. As interim director, Fullwood said park expansion would be among his priorities, along with handling the challenges of running parks during the pandemic and completing projects funded through Connect NC bonds. Voters approved those bonds in 2016, providing $75 million for 45 state park projects. Also appearing in the July 12, 2020 issue of the News and Observer was an article titled, Bike Touring Might Be the Safest Vacation Option. The writer is Brian E. Clark, and he is with the Los Angeles Times, so this is a republished article. For Jake Hoschler, it wouldn't be summer without a multi-day bike excursion. Hoschler, who has ridden with Trek Travel for nearly two decades on tours in the San Juan Islands in Washington State and in Portugal, is keeping his fingers crossed that he and his friends will be able to ride Croatia's island-dotted Dalmatian coast in September. I had to cancel a bike trip to Italy in May because of the coronavirus, said Hoschler, a former U.S. Olympic team ski racer. But everyone in our group wants to do this trip, and if Trek Travel says we can do it safely, we will go. Tara Hitchcock said she feels the same way about her bike trip outfitter. She's done eight trips with Backroads, including excursions on Hawaii Island and in Nova Scotia, and is planning to ride this fall with a small group of friends on the Spanish island of Mallorca. These trips are so much fun, she said. If we can do this safely, we will. It's outdoors in the fresh air, and I'm convinced that Backroads will do its best to keep us healthy. I have no doubt that every place we eat and stay will be clean. And if they can't cycle this fall in Europe, both said they would consider a domestic tour in the West. Tanya Burke, who owns Madison, Wisconsin-based Trek Travel, said her company canceled all European trips through August, though it began offering tours in June in North America, including in Vermont, the California wine country, and South Carolina. Burke said if all scheduled tours are evaluated on a rolling 30-day basis. If clients decide not to go on trips they booked, they have two options. They can cancel up to 48 hours before a tour begins and switch to another date with no change fee, or they can apply the balance to any trip with no expiration date. Burke said her company is following guidelines recommended by local health officials, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and the World Health Organization. The outfitter is also working with partner hotels and restaurants to make sure they adhere to CDC recommendations for cleanliness and social distancing. Trek Travel sends a survey to all the hotels it deals with, asking steps they are taking and what standards they have in place. We then supply them with our checklist that goes through our expectations, Burke said. Guides meet with the hotels before the season starts for an inspection and to review their standards and the company's expectations, which focus on cleanliness, capacity, social distancing procedures, and the check-in and check-out process, she added. We also have feedback process from guests and guides so that they can react quickly to any issues that arise, Burke said. We want to build confidence in clients who are thinking of going with us, whether it's from face coverings to taking temperatures to looking at how close we ride to each other to limiting the number of people who are in the shuttle vehicle, she said. Trek Travel has eliminated the extra fee, usually $500 per person for private groups of six or more, and has also added self-guided and four-day options to meet ever-changing customer demand. And moving forward, active travel is one of the best and healthiest ways to get out and see the world, Burke said, and we believe trends are going to be away from bigger cities and more to nature and wide open spaces. Well, certainly if you have plans to do that, we want to encourage you to think about it and also make sure that there have been no major changes in the location you'd like to visit. Well, that's it for today's episode of Armchair Traveler. Hope you've enjoyed it and that you'll be listening next time. I'm Mike Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, and reminding you the content of our program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Our broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Questions and comments can be directed to 919-832-5138. Bye-bye.